We are now going to agenda item 3. Director Suzuwin, the director's report, please.
Thank you, Chair Carpenter. I'll keep it short. We've heard a lot about the beautiful area we're in and the value of engaging with the locals, so we're going to turn most of the time over to our local representative of the director's office, Director Jim Brown. So I just have one thing before we turn it over to Jim. You may have already seen it in email, but I do want to comment that we have appointed Kelly Cunningham as the program director for our fish program. I'm incredibly excited about that. We had a robust process. Kelly really distinguished himself from the rest of the candidates. To say he is excited and passionate about the opportunity would be the biggest understatement I'll make this month, probably. He is raring to go, and I think will serve us well. So welcome him aboard, and I'm super excited about that appointment. With that, I'll turn it over to our regional director, Jim Brown.
Thank you, Director. Good morning, Director, Deputy Director, Chairman, and Commissioners, and I specifically want to welcome aboard the new Commissioners, Commissioner Linville and Anderson. So I'm available to you and any of you at any time. So, As stated, I am Jim Brown. I'm the Regional Director for Region 2. I've been in this role for 6 years. I've been with the agency for 27. The balance of my time was in the enforcement program, the majority of that as the supervisor in this very detachment that we're in right here in Okanagan County. I still maintain a home here. In fact, Dan was one of my officers and now has the stripes that I used to wear. So I appreciate his presence today. Want to welcome you to the beautiful Metow Valley of Okanagan County. Region 2 is a five-county area that spans from Washington Pass to our west and goes all the way to Sprague Lake on the Spokane and Adams County borders. So as you can envision, I'm sure you're all familiar with all of the landscapes in between. That's a pretty diverse landscape. And as Ms. Minbashan said earlier, we've got the largest wilderness area in our region in the Pasayton Wilderness, which is just a fabulous conserved resource in that area. I'd like to take a little bit of the time set aside for the director's report, but I'm also mindful of the fact that your schedule's a little bit challenged. Fortunately, several of the things, or unfortunately for me, several of the things that were on my list of items have actually been covered already in the committee reports, whether it was a predator-prey study or former Commissioner Keeney's testimony regarding the fence. But I will touch on the fence just briefly. So please feel free to stop me if you have any questions, if I'm losing you on this, and I'm going to cherry pick a little bit from my report in deference to your schedule. Probably the most exciting news for me from the region was our presence at the cultural release of Chinook salmon on the Rufus Woods Reservoir, which is an impoundment of the Columbia River above Chief Joseph Dam, where there is no fish passage, no upstream fish passage anyway. And I will echo what was said by Commissioner Thorburn. That was a very moving experience. I know she wasn't at the one we were at, but when you see a culture that has been that was a fish culture that was so impacted by the loss of fish to their culture 70 years ago, to see even the hope that there could be a return to these fish runs in some day, was very moving. And our staff were very involved in that. There's a fish health issue involving resident fish in the reservoir that needed to be attended to, and we'll need to continue to be involved in those communications, but we are certainly supporting a stepwise approach towards potential future full-on passage. We also recently renewed an agreement with the Colville Tribes for managing and licensing and enforcement procedures on Rufus Woods Reservoir, same reservoir that I was just referring to. Assisted by the AG's office, I have renegotiated a five-year agreement with the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation regarding public access, license reciprocity, enforcement protocols for violations encountered on the reservation, and this is a continuation of a highly successful pilot project that was originally started in 2007. This will be then the third iteration of that, and the agreement is actually tied to the Lake Roosevelt water sharing agreement that was originally entered into with the tribes by then Governor Gregoire. It called out in that agreement specific recreational opportunity and infrastructure enhancements and improvements to be provided on the Rufus Woods Reservoir. This agreement has funding that comes to both the tribes and the department for staff costs to patrol the reservoir and work collaboratively, and for the tribes to provide access and maintenance at three separate fishing sites where either the state or the tribe's fishing licenses are accepted by either government. Either license is also accepted on the water, and the agreement establishes which venue a encountered fishing violation will be handled based upon which license is held by the recreationist. Over the last 12 years, the state has provided pass-through funding to the tribe for staff costs of about $125,000 per year, and additional pass-through capital funding for access site development totaling $3 million. The tribes are requesting some additional funding be requested on their behalf for inflationary and replacement equipment costs that have come up since the original agreement was signed in 2007. Under the Lake Roosevelt Water Agreement framework, I'm working with the Department of Ecology's Office of Columbia River, their director, Tom Tebb, who administers that master agreement to cooperate for a 2021 funding request, which I'm also coordinating with Nate Pamplin on. This one is also a little bit novel, especially if anybody's familiar with the history of land conservation efforts in Okanagan County. We are working with the Okanagan County Board of Commissioners on a land purchase for habitat for department needs and for their need for a rock pit. Okanagan Area Wildlife Program staff and I have been working with the Okanagan County Board of Commissioners and their planning department on a proposed land acquisition for county road repair needs. The county needs a new source of crushable rock in the Methow Valley. They're basically out, and they're having to truck rock from all the way over the other side of the county. And as you know, Okanagan County is the largest county in the state. Because of this, they went in search of a willing landowner, and they found a great site down near the old town site of Methow. However, the landowner wants to sell the entire several hundred-acre tract when they only need about 100 acres for a rock pit. So they approached us because this was within the former geographic envelope of an area on a former grant where we were attempting to obtain conservation lands for critical habitat, and they asked us if we'd be willing to partner with them to obtain the portion of the land that they don't need for the rock pit, and they would also do some site improvements to provide access roads and an access site for us if we would agree to enter into that. So we have committed to enter into an agreement with them. Now, it's contingent on being able to obtain funding either through Section 6 or through RCO Critical Habitat, but we're going to make an effort on that. Our staff do believe that it would be a good fit for a critical habitat piece, and it certainly would be a, let's say, a tonal change in the way our relationship has been on land acquisition issues in Okanagan County. I think it could be a model for moving forward. Additionally, just to touch on the Mule Deer Foundation Conservation Northwest work on the pilot fence, as I refer to it, we did enter into that agreement, but I think it should be noted as well, given the fact that we have staff challenges and resource challenges for funding to maintain a fence like that. So not mentioned by Commissioner Keeney was the fact that we actually were able to obtain an agreement for no cost to the department with regard to maintenance. So recognizing that we don't have staff and equipment capacity to respond to this, and that it is only a pilot project in anticipation of a hopeful larger scale project, the Mule Deer Foundation was willing to commit up to $5,000 annually and staff time for volunteers to assist us with the maintenance piece should we have, say, a car pass through that fence and it needs to be repaired. Any costs over $5,000 would seek legislative funding in collaboration with the DOT. So essentially it's at no cost to us. We would have to do the coordination and oversight of it. DOT would provide traffic control at no cost. That's all within the agreement. But we feel it's a good model. The agreement will only last for 20 years if this is the only fence that's there, but if the new fence is actually built and extended from this, the agreement will become null and void, and a new conversation will occur as to what the larger fence maintenance issue would be, because clearly that would be an expensive undertaking over a period of time. Let's see. One last one I'm going to mention here is another collaboration effort with the small city of Bridgeport in northern Douglas County. They need to expand their existing water delivery system. It's inadequate for growth, and they're right on the edge of the Wells Wildlife Area. They need some land in order to site a new water tower and additional piping infrastructure. So the Lands Division within the Wildlife Program has been working with our staff to collaborate with the city to find replacement property where they could purchase replacement property that carries the same character and wildlife habitat values that the property that they need currently possesses. We're talking 2-3 acres, not a big piece here, and a potential land swap with that. It also involves Senator Hawkins' office. He has said he is willing to support a funding request if additional funding is needed in order to make that happen. So we've been working very closely with both the city and including Senator Hawkins' office in those discussions. And I think, given your schedule and the fact that many of these issues have already been covered, I think I'll yield the rest of the report back to you unless you have any questions.
Nice to hear from you, indeed. We have several. Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you, Jim. Always good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Director Brown. So how are your antelope?
The antelope?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen any recent, the tribe has the proprietary collar data on them. Right. We don't have direct collar sharing with them. But last I knew, we still had antelope in Douglas County. They've been highly present. And I believe there's a public process that the right. that the wildlife program is entering into for developing a management plan.
Yeah. Any conflict that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of.
Come up recently?
Not that I'm aware of. I think there's been a few car versus vehicle collisions. And two winters ago, we had a rain on snow event that then crusted over, and we had apparently quite a bit of predation on them from coyotes that occurred. They weren't able to basically take advantage of their speed, given the fact that they were hampered in traveling across that rotten snow.
Yeah. Second question, that corridor that we've heard now from Commissioner Keeney and you, Is there a transit also that's being envisioned, either a tunnel or crossing for wildlife?
My understanding of the fully scoped project would include a wildlife underpass, which may require additional property acquisition. We have property at the Carter Mountain unit of one of our wildlife areas right there, but I don't think the terrain in that area is directly conducive for an underpass, so it might require an additional acquisition nearby. There is a willing seller that's a hay farmer right there that has approached us in the past, but it doesn't necessarily have the wildlife values that we would normally seek a grant for, but it might be a candidate for some sort of a put together a project like that. I don't want to say that's exactly what's going to happen, but I know Jay has been putting a lot of brain power on this, trying to figure out where that would likely best fit.
Great. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Who's next? Okay. Mr. Graybill.
Thank you very much, Jim. I want to mention that my history with Region 2 and the staff there goes way, way back prior to my joining the commission. Officer Christensen, I remember showing you a steelhead that I caught at the bridge at Pateras just prior to a meeting. Gosh, that was a long time ago when I think about it. Yeah, yeah.
Was that during the season?
Yeah, yeah. And I just, we're That's right. We're blessed with, as in I'm sure in most regions or all regions, with a very responsible, and open staff that are always willing to interface with not just myself as a commissioner, but the public. And I know that for a fact because I've been witness to it. I've attended many public meetings in Ephrata at their offices down there, and they deal with a wide range of issues. and they do it with great aplomb. I appreciate the depth of history that Jim has within this region. In fact, I remember seeing you on the banks of the Okanagan River well before you were elevated to your current position.
Yeah, you may recall, press hard, five copies. No, never had a problem with Commissioner Graybill. But I did also check his brother, who was a fishing guide.
That's right.
One time as well.
That's right, yeah. So we have a long history with the department in this regional office, and I'm glad to see you here, Jim. And
thank you.
Your enforcement people, the challenges with enforcement here are immense. The largest county in the state, which is, and the region exceeds those boundaries. So it's very difficult with the available staff to do the job they do, and they have a great reputation for doing it, too, in a contentious region of the state, too. So thank you very much for being here today, Jim, and the enforcement group, and Chad Jackson. Oh, by the way, Chad, you were right about the Coeur d'Alene Kokanee. They were big. So that's the... Yeah, that's right.
Commissioner Anderson.
Yes, just want to say I appreciate the overall the opportunity to be in the Met Hall. I was first here in about 45 years ago as a graduate student from Washington State University, and we did some of the project work was associated with growth and the change that was occurring in the region at the time. The road had just been opened up in the early 70s, and there was a discovering, if you will, of the Met Hall by people, and there was the inherent relationship dynamic that was occurring, and people were coming here and their different values.
Thank you.
It's been interesting to watch over time because the issues were around the Aspen ski area and the mine, and some of those have been wrestled to the ground, it sounds like, but others, I'm sure, have not yet been fully sorted out. But there is the partnership and the collaboration that does exist, and it's very... very encouraging to me, that because that's where I think the future has to be, which leads me to the second point about the partnerships. I think those kind of creative partnerships, and as Commissioner Keeney had mentioned, the outside of the testimony, but going beyond and going doing visits and really getting to know where people are at is really the key for the department, for the commission, and others. So I want to continue to encourage that. I don't want to take up any more time, but I wanted to establish my Met Hall Valley experience too. So,
thank you all, Jim. Thank you very much for your leadership over here. It's well appreciated and well done. So, having said that, I've had a number of people contact.